This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 546, recorded Friday, July 9th, 2021, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Dum-de-dum-dum-dum. That's what I said.
So we have a few surprises. One, it's Friday.
Whoa! Yeah. Love Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday afternoon. And we are rescheduling for reasons unknown, at least to me.
I had a unexpected familial commitment last night.
That's good, because I had a power outage.
Well, that's convenient. Well,
it would have been after the recording, but there was like a 45-minute power outage here last night.
Oh.
Yeah, things happen.
You haven't even gotten the remnants of Elsa yet, have you? Or will you?
Have I? Yeah, it's been raining miserably here for 2 days. Record flooding in New York, the usual. So I'm once again playing with the stream. So I'm now distributing your voice on the right channel and my voice on the left channel. Over to the essentially to the YouTube streamer. And instead of plugging it directly into the encoder, I'm actually plugging the output from the mixed audio with the two separate channels into an HDMI audio inserter and then inserting it along with the image of the show notes.
Wow. That's crazy talk.
I'll keep iterating. But you, again, there's some interesting things I'm doing. Then I found a USB to quarter inch cable that allows me to output the output from the computer that's bringing in your audio directly on a quarter inch output without an adapter.
Oh no.
So it plugs into a board more effectively.
Oh,
so not that I'm not using a board. I'm actually just using a simple USB audio interface, but again, everything has its pros and cons. So we'll see. I heard the volume might be low, but yeah, apparently I might also be tinny.
Tinny.
Maybe I should put the windscreen on the microphone.
Will that help you not sound tinny?
I don't know, but I do have a windscreen. Maybe I need to bring a pop filter because of my plosives. So I just put the windscreen on. So maybe that'll help since
that was. It sounded like a bunch of wind.
Yeah, I put the windscreen on. So I could bring up a pop filter. The pop filter is the thing that makes it so that when you say, it doesn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, feedback always appreciated. So the other bit of news, of course, is that the re-lettered version of the logo is now ready.
Yay.
Right. So we have to decide what we're going to do with it. And, you know, there are mixed feelings about this. This is not a erasure of the Android Buffet name. This is an additional name. So the question is, how should we present this transition?
I don't know.
So that's something to think about, because I can, of course, migrate the site and over to the other domain and then do redirect on Android Buffet, or I could just redirect Techno Buffet and have both logos in different places. But worth thinking about. So that's the story with that. So a few stories came through this week. For example, a new multi-state antitrust lawsuit has targeted the fees imposed by Google Play.
Yes, because Google's going to charge less, so let's sue them.
Essentially, the claim is Google illegally abused its power over developers to distribute app store through the Play Store on mobile devices. So we'll see what happens with that, because that seems sure, like that the makes type of sense. Story. Well, again, we're back to that is the type of story we generally do mention. Oh, good news from the live stream. Our live stream guest, Michael Sanders, has said that the pop filter would probably help, but he can completely understand what is being said. So the complaints of previous weeks are eliminated, but I still have a little work to do.
Okay, so being so, able to understand it is important.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking is this is a, is like a $30 device that's doing the output. I think maybe I might spring for one with a better digital to audio analog converter, because it needs to go to analog to get into the streamer, which is odd because then it goes back to being digital. I think I just need an the inserter accepts optical, but I need to find a device that will output optical so that it never never turns from digital back to analog in order for
me. You have an optical output device.
Where?
Your light bulb?
Optical audio. By the way, when you did that laughing noise, you sounded like those two guys who used to heckle the Muppets. They used to laugh like that.
Is that good?
I don't know. Did you like those guys?
I don't know.
That would be Statler and Waldorf. Anyway, Muppet references aside, another interesting article I came across, Microsoft cares about Android almost as much as Google.
I might buy that.
Well, no, the thing is that they failed with Windows Mobile, and they're all in on making Android their mobile platform.
Sure, because it's not Apple.
Well, Apple, I don't think, would let them have the flexibility that Android does, to be honest about it. But I've been spending a lot of time in the Microsoft ecosystem lately. You know that I am a long time.
You feel dirty? You have to take a shower at the end of every day?
No, at the beginning of every day.
Oh.
I shower in the morning, not in the evening. But no, my place of business migrated everybody over to Office 365.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What was my alternative? I didn't make the decision. But essentially, I've been spending all this time trying to find all the things that I get with 365 that I might be able to use, since they're not getting me any of the software that I want. So it's, I need something to be able to do X. You can't have it. Okay, is there something that I could use that's built into Microsoft that we're already paying for? Maybe. So I've been spending a lot of time in that area. Not that exciting. Sorry. Is that me or you?
That's me.
Okay. You're very popular.
It's in the workday. You know, these are working hours for me. Yeah.
I understand. I'm sorry, but I would not be available later.
But, no, this is a perfect time. I need to find the things that are making noise and mute them.
Isn't that the problem? No, just yesterday, my father, who has a hearing aid that's Bluetooth enabled, was complaining that all of a sudden his phone was sending notifications into his hearing aid and driving him crazy. And I was sitting there with his phone trying to actually figure out which, is this the notification? Do you need to know about this? And we were going through notification by notification, trying to find the one that makes the annoying noise. He has a lot of notifications he doesn't care about.
I figure notifications should only happen if learning that piece of information would result in action.
Well, the problem is you install an app and it, you know, turns notifications on full blast, and most people don't know how to tune them. So, for example, he had a news app on there, and the news app was essentially sending him breaking news. I said, "Do you care about breaking news?" "No. If I want to know about the news, I'll open the app." And you know, it was pretty much like that. It's all these apps that he installed to look at things, want to tell him about things constantly.
Yes.
So, moving on, app bundles are concerning some security experts because of the fact that they are compiled outside of the developer's computer.
Wait, what?
Okay, we talked about app bundles, that now all of APKs are going away and app bundles are the replacement.
Oh.
So essentially what ends up happening is that the APKs are still what happens at the end of the process, but now you distribute these app bundles and essentially they're compiled by the Play Store servers and then distribute it out.
Oh, so that means that would be the target of high value, because they could get into any software or any.
So app. Google uses the app bundle to generate a bunch of different APKs for different device configurations. And each app bundle only contains the resources needed for that configuration. So when they download the app, they're served the generated APK that matches their configuration so that the APK doesn't have to have every single version.
Hmm.
So essentially, here's the other part of it. It's instead of asking the developer to sign and re-upload generated APKs, Google will manage the signing itself. So either they use a key that they create for signing your APKs, or they ask the developer for a key that they we'll use to sign it.
Right.
So Google is handling the signing of these APKs. And again, that's interesting in itself. So again, the idea that instead of you distributing every single version, you distribute a generic version and then it's compiled into the right version. Sounds like a good idea, except that compiling again is being done by Google and there are problems with that.
And it also completely defeats the point of signing. When you sign the app with your key, you're saying that I'm responsible for what's inside this.
Yeah.
And I mean, it might as well be signed by Google's key if Google's going to do the signing.
Pretty much.
Or the compiling.
Pretty much. Essentially, the default behavior is Google create its own distribution key, which it keeps private from the developer. So it's signing that all Google is signing is that it received this app bundle from that developer. That's what it's essentially attesting.
Yeah.
And again, it also means that, you know, if you have a third-party store, now you have to compile APKs for your third-party store. You have to send app bundles to Google. And again, Google could modify from the time of the app bundle over to the APK. They could, in theory, modify it. They've said they will not do that. However, they have the option of doing it.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting problem.
It's okay.
Well, again, so
the APK I know why they're doing it. Was a good solution.
Yeah.
App bundles, I believe, are a better solution. Only download the stuff you need because apps are only getting larger and larger. And most of that does not change during a point release. So the idea of differential upgrades, totally great. Awesome. Only send me the stuff I need. And shifting technologies or methods is a very hard process. So there's going to be some pain along the way, but I got to believe that at the end, it'll be worth it.
I hope so. Anyway, moving along, Firefox has followed in the footsteps of Chrome and dropped FTP support. They promised that that would reappear in an add-on, but they're not going to do it. No, it has yet to reappear.
I don't know how I feel about this. I guess I'm okay with, are you okay with this? I'm kind of okay with this.
I'm okay with it in the sense that there are other FTP clients. I don't know why you need an FTP client built into your web browser.
Right.
So I'm not.
And FTP is an old technology that's really honestly kind of going away, except for limited use cases. I mean, do we expect Firefox to still support Gopher?
Well, I got into this whole fight about a year ago because there were these organizations that wanted to do file transfers. So I do some server admin, as you may have heard me mention. And somebody who was hosting on the server wanted to get this data dumped from a company. So the company, I said, well, I'll set up, you know, SCP. You can just do that. Oh, no, we need FTP. So these companies were insisting that the only way that they could transfer this file of information that they did not want to be shared was over FTP. So I set up a sandboxed FTP server, and then the actual server would go log into the same FTP store once a day and transfer the file securely to its final destination. But I would imagine there are plenty of people who, again, do not know how to do things if they're not using classic technology that should have been gotten rid of years.
Especially in your line of work.
Well, no, this wasn't my line, my day job. This, my server admin stuff is a side thing. I do it for a couple of people just as a side, not even a business, because that would assume they paid me. I mostly get paid in other non-monetary items.
Like chickens and rugs?
No, I get access to a server that's much more than I want to pay for. Uh-huh. I don't have to pay to host my stuff. So I get a more powerful server out of it. Also, it's an educational process, and it's not like they need very much. If they were constantly asking me to do things. Anyway, it's not the only thing. I remember people who were these conversations not long ago that I had with web developers who couldn't figure out how to upload anything unless there was a cPanel.
Yep, been there.
Yeah, and it's sort of, okay, you're a web developer, and if it doesn't have a cPanel, you don't know how to get a file somewhere. Moving along.
Well, to be Google, fair. Yeah. Writing HTML and JavaScript is very different than system administration.
Yeah, but I sent them a "this is how you upload the file" instruction from. I'm talking about like a tutorial from on how to actually do this. PuTTY is not the hardest thing to use, or one of those. Anyway, moving along, Google Pay now supports paying bills and transactions using your pay balance. So this is the same way that you might use your contactless credit card. So if your phone has NFC, Google Pay now allows you, using a virtual credit card number, to pay using whatever your Google Pay balance is, which is good because it annoyed me that people had sent me money via Google Pay and I had no easy way of getting it out. I'd have to transfer it to a bank and then pay it some other way. So another problem solved.
Cool.
Google Calendar invites will now let you specify whether your attendance is physical or virtual.
Well, so if I specify whether masks are mandatory.
Well, isn't that like a property of the event? This is a property of the RSVP. So it's not on the invitation part of it. It's on the response. Whether or not you an event had health requirements of any sort would be on the other side of the interaction.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I was reading the, of which specification was it? It was the, I forget what that's called. Let me think. CalDAV was the one I was reading.
Ah, yes.
Looked like a pain, but I was reading all of the different settings you could have for an event not long ago. And apparently they're mixed up with things you can have for to-do. It was interesting, but it convinced me that I don't want to deal with CalDAV right now. Moving along, there was a review of Google Chat, which replaced or is in the process of replacing Hangouts. And apparently the review is, it is terrible as a Slack clone, but good as a consumer chat app.
Sure.
Have you tried Google Chat?
Not on my phone, but I use it on the web browser. And Yes, it's okay as a human talking to a human, but business related, oh.
Well, I migrated over to chat. Also, I'm helping by beta testing the Purple Google Chat plugin. So libpurple is the libraries that are used by Pigeon, among other things. And I am a longtime Pigeon user, Pigeon being a unified client. And I compiled the experimental Purple Google app plugin that is a replacement for the Hangouts plugin so I could give feedback. How did it work for you? Because I sent you a message using that a little while ago. Did you notice anything different?
Nope. I mean, there's a slight UI difference, but
No, I meant with my communication, it looked normal.
It did.
And I'm not coming in via Hangouts anymore, but we'll see. Anyway, that was
just like in the exact same place Hangout. So
yeah. And I had a whole binge earlier in the week where I also bridged, and I had avoided doing it in the past. I bridged Slack into Pigeon.
Wow, that's crazy.
And Bitlebee, which I use, which is a IRC to messaging gateway, I also compiled and bridged a bunch of things into there. So I was doing plugin compiling for messaging platforms this week. So I'm bridging everything into everything. I have Discord going into IRC. It's an interesting time. I just want everything in one little application. I don't know why that's so hard.
Because everybody wants their own walled garden. Walled garden, that's the word.
Yeah, I like to knock down walls. By the way, from the YouTube situation, apparently everything I am saying is being repeated. So there's some sort of buffering issue. I'm running out of things to replace here. Anyway, I'll keep working on that. Clearly, I do not have a future as a YouTube star. So because I always have to throw this in because I talk about the weather a lot, I found an article, Best Weather Apps for Android. And I like none of them. So they recommended WeWow Weather, which did not impress me. Visually nice, but Today Weather, which I've seen before and didn't impress me. Weather Underground, which I'm still protesting on after what they did to me. The Weather Channel, which I have my mixed views of. Yo Window, Awesome Weather. I just want an app that tells me about the weather. Why does everything have to be, you know, fancy? So I'm sticking with the one that I'm currently using. I did not find a new weather app. And that's Sunrise, which has not seen an update, which disappoints me.
But does it need an update? Is it missing some feature or does it have a bug that
they promised that they were actively developing it. The fact that they didn't actively develop it, again, back to, it's not about that. I am using it because I am satisfied with it, but I contributed because they said that they were actively developing it. And I have not seen any active development since I contributed. I'm not uninstalling it. I just wanted to support them in doing stuff. Anyway, Chotek is the latest brand that's been delisted on Amazon. So we've lost Aukey. We've lost RavPower. We've lost Chotek. You know how much stuff I bought from those three companies in the last few years?
Four.
Four what?
I don't know. Four.
Okay. No, I'm saying I have bought from all of those companies at some point in the last few years. They've sold me cables and chargers on many occasions. So it is disappointing that they have been driven off of Amazon for an admittedly legitimate reason. The U.S. is considering right to repair rules that would target smartphone makers. So how do you feel about the right to repair?
I think if you buy a thing, then you should be, have the right to do whatever you want to it. However, that does not mean that the manufacturers are obligated to make it easy to repair.
Well, it's nothing to be. It has nothing to do with easy. The idea is that it would they would have the right to actually repair it, and it would not be something that the manufacturer can penalize you for doing.
But
by itself,
how are they going to? Okay.
Well, no. Let's go to the way that this
works. Are they trying to make it illegal too, like some sort of DMCA thing?
Manufacturers have said that if your item is repaired anywhere but an authorized dealer, then that voids any warranty that they're giving you.
Sure.
And again, in some of them, they've said it's a violation of terms of service and that they might discontinue your access to other services.
Okay. Now that seems like carp.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't see why they should have to warranty the work of somebody that they don't even know. Shouldn't. I mean, if you got your Uncle Jimmy that's trying to fix your phone with a chisel and a hammer and he does a bad job, then don't expect Apple to warranty that work.
I agree with you. They should warranty things that they have under control. So we're back to, let's say that the screen cracks and you replace the screen and later the battery fails. The battery has nothing to do with the screen, but they would say, because you replaced the screen, the fact that the battery dies, they don't have to cover.
Right.
Which
should, but maybe again, the guy who replaced the screen damaged the battery.
That's if they can prove that, then they should definitely deny the claim. But if it has nothing, if the two things are completely unrelated, then they shouldn't. That's sort of the point. It can't be that the manufacturer has all of the rights in this relationship and the consumer has none. But again, I don't know if I will like what they come up with. I just think that the saying that you cannot unilaterally void a warranty for work being done by a non-approved individual unless you can prove that that was what caused the failure that needs to be covered under warranty, then I think that's fair. But again, what they'll actually come up with as a rule, who knows? The former president of the United States is trying to get Section 230 declared unconstitutional. Again, we keep talking about challenges to Section 230. And again, no law is perfect, but I don't think there's anything wrong with this one. It says
the problem is that it's not interpreted the way that a normal person would expect it to be interpreted.
Well, what it says essentially is that the platforms, again, are not responsible for the content posted on the platforms, and they have the right to moderate those platforms as they are not public forums. They are places that the companies have created. So the idea that there is free speech in a private zone is not exactly a legal concept that I understand. Free speech is for public places. If the sort of problem is, if you say that these companies cannot regulate speech within their own platforms, because that would be restricting free speech, then those platforms are essentially government-run spaces. So I
don't think that's what the complaint's about. And I think you're twisting the argument on purpose.
Possibly. So the complaint says that there's bias. I'll see if I can quote from it because I want to be as accurate as possible. So let's see here. They seek damages on any users who've had an account wrongly restricted or curtailed on Facebook, Twitter, or Google, and to declare the Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act unconstitutional. It also apparently challenges the premise of social media terms of service, complaining that usage was expressly conditioned on speech restrictions. Anyway, it's interesting when I am on the side of people not restricting companies' abilities to do things, because usually you hear me advocating for limited restrictions. And in this case, I don't think any restrictions will actually work effectively. Anyway.
Okay.
Wally Funk is going to space with Jeff Bezos. Are you excited?
Not so much.
Why? Because it's Jeff Bezos? Because it's Wally Funk? Or because it's not quite a space mission as sort of a tourist thing?
I don't know who Wally Funk is.
Really? So I will read to you from this description here. In 1961, Wally Funk was the youngest member of the Mercury 13, a group of 13 women privately tested and trained by a team of aviation medical experts for NASA's astronaut program. The program, which put women through the same vigorous testing as the Mercury 7, the all-male team of original astronauts, was canceled. Now, moving forward, Funk was also the first female FAA inspector and the first female NTSB air safety investigator. So this is an aviation legend.
Cool.
Anyway, I know you have an interest in space.
I love it. It's a potential place to dump some people.
So are you unhappy because they're not dumping these people that they intend on bringing them back? Anyway, we've talked about the Google Chromecast with Android TV, but Android Police endorsed the On Android TV, which is the Walmart generic Android TV device, as half the price and almost as good, which I thought was an interesting way of describing it.
Yeah, that seems fair to me.
Well, again, if you can get something that's almost as good for half the price, why not? The biggest comment was that it's much easier to use a USB hub with the Chromecast. And with this one, you need a little more complicated. You need essentially a USB OTG hub with power passer, which is apparently a little harder to get, but still possible. There are a lot of USB-C hubs out there. I think I have a pile of them. And finally, in one other interesting turn of events, since I use it to edit this podcast, Audacity is not spyware.
Depends on what it installs.
Well, it's back to that there were several news outlets that were warning readers that Audacity has become spyware, which is not technically true. So Audacity is now going to be collecting telemetry. And so essentially the...
You can turn off them collecting telemetry, right?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at this here.
I don't know if you can now, but I'm fairly certain you used to be able to.
Well, remember, this is for version 3, which just came out. So you could still be using one of the version 2s. So it's
probably still using version 1 something.
Yeah, so...
Audacity is one of those pieces of software that just works great, so I don't touch it.
Okay. Well, here, according to this, is what they say that they're collecting. They're collecting operating system name and version, user country, geolocated by public IP address, CPU, non-fatal error codes and messages, crash reports, and the one that's worrying people, data necessary for law enforcement, litigation, authorities requests, if any. And that's the one that's really worried.
Well, that's kind of vague.
Well, the sort of thing is, if an organization is legally ordered to collect information, then it has to do so. However, it's vague because it was, again, written poorly. Now, there's the other part of it, which is a line stating Audacity is not intended for individuals below the age of 13 and requesting they do not use the app. And that's mostly because of issues with child. I always forget that acronym. It's a child, CIPA, I think, Child Internet Protection Act, I think it is. I always mix those up. But again, the question is, here we are. The new update is telemetry strictly optional, disabled by default, and only works in builds made from the official repository. Anybody compiling from source will be given an option to enable it, but it would be off by default. So apparently they're still responding to this, and they are taking the whole thing seriously. So the idea to say that because a company talks about collecting telemetry, that suddenly it's spyware?
Well, I don't think anybody is upset that it's gathering, you know, like app analytics and improving the app. I don't think anybody's upset about that. Right? It's the, we could collect some other stuff, you know, because we're told to.
Well, we're back to it is not easy for companies to do certain things. I think this is also the reason why I've heard, you know, WordPress being very reluctant about doing telemetry. And, you know, I'm a WordPress user because that's what I use to run the Android Buffet site. And I remember hearing Matt Mullenweg talking about the fact that because it is hard to do any sort of telemetry right, they're very reluctant to add any additional telemetry, even when somebody suggests it.
Makes sense to me, especially with WordPress being under constant hacker attack.
Well, it's a big target. But as far as I know, what they do collect is essentially what version people are on and what PHP version people are on. So they can know how much, you know, what percentage of people using the product are on the latest version and whether or not they can bump the PHP minimum requirements. It was a big deal in the last year when they bumped it to PHP 5.6.
Off of 5.3?
5.2.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, again, that was minimum requirement, not recommendation.
Right.
They always recommended higher.
Sure.
So they said that it's they're going to try to iterate fast and get people up to a minimum standard of 7. But you know how it is, somebody running WordPress on a hosted platform that doesn't care about keeping things updated. It's not really, you know, the platform's fault, other than the fact that the platform has a really religious commitment to backward compatibility to an extent larger than many projects.
Eclipsed only by Windows.
Even Windows.
Windows of old, not Windows of now. Yeah.
Well, even Windows, they came up with the solution. Let's give everybody the upgrade for free to finally get off this legacy debt we have. I thought that was the whole reason they gave out Windows 10 for free.
No, I'm thinking of the Windows 98 era when they put special code in the operating system for specific software so that it wouldn't break.
Yeah. How many people are still running old versions of Internet Explorer because they can't run their web apps any other way?
Probably at least 2.
Oh, you can think of 2 of them?
I bet they work in the airline industry.
I never talked to anybody about their... I think the last time I had a conversation about technical debt at my place of business was when I told them what year we stopped using Novell GroupWise, which always makes people laugh.
That's funny.
Again, you know how it is. Some companies just are conservative about changing their software platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Upgrading can be painful and
costly
when mistakes happen. And in software, mistakes tend to happen.
Yeah, and help save money also sometimes. Not admittedly, there are other consequences to not upgrading. But if you've paid for the thing you have and it works, there isn't always a motivation to upgrade. If it doesn't work, that's it. Anyway, theoretical issues aside, that brings us to the end of the things I found for this week. So next week, we'll be back on a Thursday, I hope.
We hope.
And I'll continue to figure out, now I fixed the problem with the audio quality, but now apparently it's repeating, which suggests that I need to tune the settings in the encoder.
Good luck.
Well, maybe I need to find the firmware update. I'm sure there is a firmware update. There's always a firmware update. And until next week, I'm going to go enjoy my weekend.
All right, man.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Goodbye. Bye, folks.